You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
Yes, indeed. A very good morning, boys and girls, and welcome to The Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D. Time right now, just after the hour of 7 o'clock. I'm going to be sitting here and entertaining you right through till 10 o'clock this morning, this Thursday morning, 12th of October. Let's see who we have in the way of birthdays for today. Let's go back to the year 1537. And it's good if you can get a job at 9 years of age, isn't it, really? Edward VI was born on this day, 1537. He became King of England and Ireland on the 28th of January, 1547, and was crowned on the 20th of February at the age of nine. The son of Henry VIII and Jane Seymour, Edward was the third monarch of the Tudor dynasty and England's first monarch that was raised as a Protestant.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Father, how to love me, mother, I have
bring us in this morning. That's Elton John and Made in England. It all sounds rather jolly, doesn't it? Well, the song is deliberately made to sound pro-English, but its underlying currents are actually quite negative and scolding at some of the English stereotypes, cliches, and the shameless paparazzi that he had to deal with during his 40 years in England. Time on The Breakfast Show, 6.5 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Well, obviously, they were quite successful in Japan, weren't they? That was the debut single of the German synth-pop band Alphaville, and that was off of their 1984 album, which was called Forever Young. It was a success in many countries, including West Germany, Sweden, Switzerland as well. It was also the group's only UK top 75 hit. It got to number 8 on the UK singles chart. Song also reached number 1 on the Hot Dance Club play chart. That was in December of 1984. You notice one thing that's not mentioned there was how well the song did in Japan. 15 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show, which means we're getting you spruced up, smelling nice, and on your way to work or wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. If you just joined us, a very good morning. It is Thursday, the 12th of October. And in the shower with you this morning, the real thing. Can you feel the force?
Can you feel the force? Can you feel the force? There's a mood spread around the world today. Can you feel the force? It's with you in the world, or at your play. Can you feel the force?
There we go, that's it. Can you feel the force? And as I mentioned at the beginning, that is the real thing. Really. How'd you get? There we go, out of the shower, on your way to wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. Looking out the window this morning. And also when I got up, the sunset, very nice sunset this morning. And no sign of rain at the moment. I mean, we're getting up to halfway through October. We need a few good downpours, don't we? And there's quite an interesting piece in the local news this morning, when we get to that, about the situation with the water and what the ACP, the canal, is doing about it. So that's in the local news. Don't forget, in around about 10 minutes, we'll take a look at some of the international news headlines. and we'll be looking at a little bit of business as well. The music, as was mentioned by one of our listeners yesterday, is an antidepressant here on this morning's programme. So plenty of good music going through to 10. It is Thursday, which means if Dr. Computer is available, he comes in and joins us. And he is available today, and he is coming in to join us. We don't know what the topic's going to be yet, but that's not unusual. Neither of us seem to know what we're going to be talking about. Anyway, Dr. Computer, in the last hour this morning, we have His Excellency, the Ambassador of India here in the Republic of Panama. He's coming in to chat with us this morning as well, which is all rather nice. time, that is Tracy Spencer, and it's called This House. If you hadn't guessed by now. I tell you what, take us down towards the bottom of the hour. This is the boy with the thorn in his side. Comes from the Smiths. 25 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock.
FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023 British Ball Tickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@britishballpanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well.
Cardigan Groups, la agencia de comunicación, PR y marketing más creativa de Panamá, te invita a la segunda edición de Empowoman.
Iniciativa 100% gratuita que reúne inspiradoras historias y abordará temas como cinta rosada, maternidad, emprendimiento y mucho más.
Acompaña a Daniela Álvarez, Miss Colombia 2011.
Junto a reconocidas mujeres como Nicole Ferguson, Astrid Quiroz y Sacha Nikita. Este 21 de octubre desde las 10 de la mañana en Multiplaza Plaza del Sol.
Inscríbete en proyectocardigans.com y síguenos en @EmpowomanLatam.
Grupo Nefron Medical and Dialysis Center, located in the heart of the city, this is at the Panama Clinic Hospital in San Francisco, provides a full range of services, including advanced diagnostic procedures and treatments to help patients prevent or delay kidney failure and live healthier lives while managing a kidney disorder. Contact them at 310-2895 or 6548-6510. Grupo Nefron.
La línea 3 del metro elevará el tren de vida de miles de panameños que residen en Panamá Oeste. Pronto será una realidad que contribuirá a un desplazamiento rápido y seguro desde y hacia la ciudad capital.
And if you just joined us, a very good morning to you. We are just making our way to 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. And it's Thursday. It's the 12th of October, which means tomorrow is Friday the 13th. Have you ever thought about smart investing? You've got to check out Riccio & Associates. They've got over 30 years of experience guiding folks just like you. Start with $5,000. Get control, low costs and total liquidity. Reach out on WhatsApp at 1-954-881-3398 or swing by the website yoinviertobien.com. Your financial future, it's in great hands.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Oh,
There we go, two in a row, and we have there Climie Fisher and Rise to the Occasion. And before that one, it was 100% Proof, Aged in Soul. Yeah, what a good track that was. By the way, if you've sent us anything on WhatsApp this morning, I just thought, oh, this is unusual, nobody sent me any messages. And I went to just check, and it says that on that particular computer, I've got no internet. So if you are waiting me to say hello, I think there must have been the cable that's come out, but I will go and dig under the desk and hope nothing shuts down and see if I can check it out. But anyway, that's right, because I thought it was rather unusual. Nobody said good morning this morning. Thought perhaps nobody liked me anymore. Oh, no, that couldn't possibly happen. Here's Eurythmics, and It's All Right. Baby's Coming Back. Baby's Coming Back. Well, it was a loose connection at the back of the computer. Well, what I did was I basically unplugged the cable and replugged it in again, and yes, I am still loved. Well, they didn't say I was, but anyway, good morning, Mary Lou. Sorry, I'm a bit late. It's only been an hour. Good morning, Mary Lou. Good morning, Renee. Renee, Dr. Silver Line, says, good morning. I had a not a wild goose chase this morning, but a wild dog chase. She said, dogs were outside in our gated yard. It was extra windy. The front gate was blown open. I don't know for how long, but suddenly I noticed the dogs were missing and ran outside, calling out for them. Realised that our youngest dog, Ruby, was actually still in the yard, back in the corner, watching her sister running wild in the street. I finally tracked down our big doggy Roxy, tongue out, panting, her, not me, and looking pleased with herself, chasing cats, I'm sure. She has a scrape on one of her legs. Anyway, have a nice Thursday. And you asked if I could play a piece for you. And, well, it must have been you, really. I mean, the song... barking up the wrong tree. There we go. Baha Men and Who Let the Dogs Out for Renee this morning over there in Athens in Greece, Renee and Rick. Funnily enough, it's funny you should mention that because it brings me to another story. I remember going to a maritime conference in Piraeus, just down the road from where you are, I think. And, yeah, in Piraeus. And I was out light, fairly late. I think we'd gone into the town, into Athens. And I was getting a taxi back, and the taxi dropped me. It wasn't a taxi. It was a bus. That's right. And I got off the bus, and I was sort of trying to make my way back to where the hotel was. And there were wild dogs out there. Well, they seemed wild, and they chased me. Literally, I was running down the street trying to get away from these dogs. The thing is, they were probably yours. No, they couldn't have been. You weren't there then, were you? A bit of music taking us up at the top of the hour from Booker T and the MGs. Go, nice bit of music, as I said, from Booker T and the MGs. Actually, it's a track I keep on the sort of the buttons here to play when I just need some music to fill in. So the title of that song is really quite apt. Time is tight. Booker T and the MGs. Time, top of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cardigan Groups, la agencia de comunicación, PR y marketing más creativa de Panamá, te invita a la segunda edición de Empowoman.
Iniciativa 100% gratuita que reúne inspiradoras historias y abordará temas como cinta rosada, maternidad, emprendimiento y mucho más.
Acompaña a Daniela Álvarez, Miss Colombia 2011.
Junto a reconocidas mujeres como Nicole Ferguson, Astrid Quiroz y Sacha Nikita. Este 21 de octubre desde las 10 de la mañana en Multiplaza Plaza del Sol.
Inscríbete en proyectocardigans.com y síguenos en @EmpowomanLatam.
Grupo Nefron Medical and Dialysis Center, located in the heart of the city, this is at the Panama Clinic Hospital in San Francisco, provides a full range of services, including advanced diagnostic procedures and treatments to help patients prevent or delay kidney failure and live healthier lives while managing a kidney disorder. Contact them at 310-2895 or 6548-6510. Grupo Nefron.
La línea 3 beneficiará a una población de más de 500.000 habitantes de la provincia de Panamá Oeste. Con el sistema monorriel, atenderá una demanda inicial de 160.000 usuarios.
And there we are. Yes, always great things to do and always great people to get involved with as well. And big thanks to them for being on the show. I'll tell you what, if you're looking at doing something on Saturday, yeah, not far, day after tomorrow, 14th of December, October, November, 14th of October, gosh, it's going to be Christmas. The Ancon Charity Fest is taking place, that's up there. If you know where the Albrook Inn is in Albrook, in that area, just look it up on Waze, you'll find it, because this is right next door. It's at the Abu Sad Shriners building up there. It's a great event. It kicks off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the Abu Sad Center. And there is plenty of music, there is food, and there is drinks. The Nightwalkers, Nima, Hacienda Libre, Ray Benz, Los Caneros, and Del Blues, Los Caneros Del Blues, Cruz Robles, OG Music Radio. They're all going to be there, so plenty of fun, plenty to do, plenty to eat, plenty to drink. All right, and all in aid of a good charity. It's to benefit the Abu Sad Shriners, who look after so many of our children here in Panama that are pediatrically challenged or burned. One little child at the moment they're trying to get up to the United States for treatment. So the other is on Saturday, 14th of October, starts at 3 o'clock. And do make a point of going on. By the way, the donation to have all that fun, just $15. You are listening to The Breakfast Show. We are on 89.3. It is Cool FM.
How I was told Forgive me if I stop and stare. Love my first, long ago. Like a shot straight to my heart. Adrenaline, adrenaline. Like a flashbang in the dark. Adrenaline, adrenaline. I take just one look at you, and I think I'm bulletproof. When you hold me in your arms. Adrenaline, adrenaline. Saw the blood and colored lines. Two bodies moving, but just one. Like a shot straight to my heart. Adrenaline, adrenaline. Like a flashbang in the dark. Adrenaline, adrenaline. I take just one look at you, and I think I'm bulletproof. When you hold me in your arms. Adrenaline, adrenaline. And I don't care if I overdose till I'm comatose. Like a shot straight through my heart. Adrenaline, adrenaline. Like a flashbang in the dark. Adrenaline, adrenaline. I take just one look at you, and I think I'm bulletproof. When you hold me in your arms. Adrenaline, adrenaline. Like a shot straight through my heart. Adrenaline, adrenaline. Like a flashbang in the dark. Adrenaline, adrenaline. Just one look at you, and I think I'm bulletproof. When you hold me in your arms. Adrenaline, adrenaline.
And only 8 days to go when the album Hackney Diamonds has been released by the Rolling Stones. That's the pre-release track. It's called Angry. And I tell you what, I'm just looking. I thought, remind me, how old is Mick Jagger? He's 80. He is, really, 80 years of age. You can still do that. Good grief. I have enough trouble getting out of bed in the morning. I don't know about anything else.
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Good morning. It's Thursday morning. Oh, yesterday was bath day. Everybody got a bath. Chelsea got a bath. The cook got a bath. I took a bath. Oh, my goodness. Everybody was clean. Squeaky, squeaky clean. It's, you know, we only do this once in a while whenever the, you know, the flies start swarming around. My friend, the Aussie, was playing one of his wonderful games on his computer when I went into the city last week. And there was a bunch of flies flying around him in the program, his character. And I was like, dude, what's wrong? He goes, oh, I need a bath. And I was like, oh, your character on this show needs a bath? He goes, yeah, I haven't bathed in a while. I was like, oh, my God, life takes after reality. Reality takes after the films. Oh, my goodness. So yesterday was indeed bath day, and today it's a lot of work day. We got the cleaning lady coming, we got the gardener coming, and we got the construction worker guy coming to give us a bid on repairing and fixing up the cabana so we can get that thing rented out as well. Going to be a busy morning, for sure. So I got the coffee pot on brew. Looking forward to that thing. I just love percolated coffee, Jerry. I can't wait for that coffee event so I can go and get me some more good coffee. As a matter of fact, one of my friends, I was supposed to be in Dubai either this week or last week. And one of the gals that I work with, she absolutely adores Palo Alto. And whenever I travel, I always take a bag of Palo Alto, a couple of bags, actually, simply because they make great presents. So while I was over there, I was giving out to the other people of the company who live in Dubai. And she said, do you have an extra bag? And I'm like, well, sure, what happened? She goes, I didn't pack enough. I packed ground instead of bean, and I'm going to run out. And I was like, here you go. Well, now we're best coffee buddies. Nothing better than sharing a cup of coffee. All right, tomorrow is that Freaky Friday Fun Facts. Ooh, I'm looking forward to it. I always like doing my research and reading off what I can find. All right, until tomorrow, back to you in the studio.
Now man was born to go alone. it's hard to fight black coffee, feeling low as a grass. It's driving me crazy, this thinking about my baby. Mine maybe come around.
She sounds very relaxed and laid back, doesn't she? For drinking black coffee. That's what it's called black coffee. And the unmistakable voice of Katie Lang. Time on the Breakfast Show, 28 minutes. That's after the hour of 8 o'clock. We're on 89.3 Call FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. It is Thursday, and he's free. Well, he's very cheap. And he's here. Good morning, Alex.
I'm easy, not cheap.
Oh, well, I know. great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
How's your week been?
Very busy, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on between a lot of work. Unfortunately, because of so many cyber attacks and things like that, either helping people ramp up their defenses or help them after they've been attacked. And it's a tough job because, you know, it's like somebody's house burned down. You know, they lost everything, and they have to rebuild from scratch. It's not an easy job, but someone's got to do it. And, you know, if that person's busy, then I can come in and help. But, yeah.
No, I was just looking because I saw something on the news. Yeah, internet companies, Google, Amazon, and Cloudflare say that they've weathered the internet's largest known denial-of-service attack and are sounding the alarm over a new technique that they warn could easily cause widespread destruction. And Alphabet Inc.'s owned Google said in a blog published on Tuesday that its cloud services had parried an avalanche of rogue traffic more than seven times the size of the previous record-breaking attack thwarted last year. That's becoming a new sort of warfare, isn't it?
It is. And in fact, this particular attack in the past couple of days was enabled by an oversight when they designed something called HTTP2. HTTP, or Hypertext Transfer Protocol, is the way that computers talk to each other to display things like web pages, designed back in the early 90s. And then, you know, it gave rise to what we call the web today, including a lot of stuff that runs on the web. And one of the improvements that were made a couple of years ago was to make it more dynamic and easier for things like connections to be more smoothly made between your computer or your phone or any other device and the server that is providing the service. It used to be that there was this long conversation and handshaking and protocol when establishing a connection, and that would happen not just for the page you were looking at and the text that was on the page, but for each and every element on the page, which could be pictures, video, programming to make your browser do certain things. One thing you might have noticed sometimes when you browse a website is that it loads up pretty quickly, but then when you scroll down, the pictures are not there, but then they fade in, and then they're there, and so on. This is so that if you don't get to read the whole page, it doesn't provide you with those images, so it saves bandwidth and energy and whatever. And there was some oversight in that new protocol's creation that allowed this attack in the way that they take over a whole bunch of machines using spyware and malware and viruses and whatever. And then they make those machines, in a coordinated attack, all at the same time, thousands upon thousands of machines, just tap the server on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm going to make a request. And the server says, okay, what do you want? And then they don't. And then they make the request again. It's the cyber equivalent of, I think, what's called in English the ding-dong ditch. where they ring your doorbell and then run away.
Oh, right, yes.
Something like that. But imagine 200,000 people ringing your doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the scale of it.
And you'd catch them because there would be a queue.
Yeah, the thing is, imagine all of them being, I don't know, quantum superimposed upon each other and then ringing the doorbell 200,000 times.
What is the, I mean, if you're doing it to, this is obviously cloud computing, if you're doing it to cloud computing, what is it they're actually after? I mean, if it's just sort of basically doing attack on Google, mm-hmm. or whatever, what is it to bring down the whole cloud computing, or
maybe just to disrupt it enough to become an expensive nuisance, in the sense that, let's say you walk down the stairs to look at who's ringing the doorbell, and because you have to do it 200,000 times, you wear off your slippers. It's like you wear out your slippers. It's the thing is, Google makes millions of dollars probably per second or something like that in search alone, in services and so on. But if they can't provide those services, then they're out that money and mm-hmm. they won't mm-hmm. get it back, because if Google doesn't load for you, you're going to go to Bing. If Amazon doesn't load for you, you're going to go to Best Buy or whatever. And it's money that you lost and money that you were maybe counting on mm-hmm. for your business. So it is, and it can be very damaging. I know that some government institutions were object of attacks here in Panama over the weekend. There were some websites that were down for some time and so on. And that is going to become more and more prevalent, and institutions have to take more precautions even than private institutions, because they provide a public service, mm-hmm. services that sometimes can result in loss of money or even worse, loss of life. So it's very important nowadays to take care of that and to be prepared, not only to prevent these kinds of attacks by redirecting them somewhere else or whatever, but also to prepare for the fact that one of these attacks can and will be eventually successful. Mm-hmm. You have to be mm-hmm. able to recover fast enough. That's called digital resiliency. The ability to, you know, get up after you've been hit down.
Okay. But I mean, the breakfast show is not likely to be attacked, is it?
Yes and no. It's less likely to be attacked than, say, a bank, because, you know, financially, the bank is a better target. But a lot of the times, these attacks don't necessarily discriminate on the size. They're just automated.
Just phishing.
Yeah, they go IP address by IP address, or they just go random and see mm-hmm. what sticks. And also, you have to remember that, for example, The Breakfast Show is hosted on a server in Europe that shares an infrastructure with a whole bunch of other servers mm-hmm, in Europe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one of those servers might be attacked, but the attack might take the whole infrastructure down.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. we're all in this together in that regard, because if it hits one, the collateral damage can hit a lot more people.
So instead of taking the leaves off the tree, just chop it down.
Exactly, or burn mm-hmm. the entire forest down. So,
well, that's been done, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, one of the things you mentioned we could talk about is QR codes.
Yeah. A lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about QR codes. It's like...
It's a menu, isn't it?
It can be, but it could also be a car part. I mean, you have to mm-hmm. take into account that QR codes were invented many, many years ago by Toyota, because it allowed a lot more information to be packed in a tiny bit of space on a label than a regular UPC barcode, like mm-hmm. the ones mm-hmm. they use on mm-hmm. products and things like mm-hmm. that. The UPC barcodes can probably encode maybe 16 digits in letters and things like that. But on a square that's, you know, about 2 inches by 2 inches, you can get, you know, even an entire page of text squeezed down mm-hmm. into that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times people can be wary about QR codes because they don't understand how they work. And it's actually pretty easy. Every little dot there encodes, just like Morse code would, mm-hmm. A letter, a number, or something like that. And most of the QR codes that we see out there in the wild are website addresses. And the more complex the website address is, like if you take the entire URL for, mm-hmm. say, a Breakfast Show webpage. It's going to be like pbcpanama.com/the date/the title or whatever. It's going to be pretty long, so it's going to look a little complex. A lot of the times, to make the barcodes easier to read, what some people will do is use URL shorteners. You're probably familiar with shorteners like bit.ly, where you can paste a really long URL and get a little short one. There's a whole bunch of them out there to make short URLs to make these QR codes simpler. The thing is, when you point your phone at a QR code and use either a QR code scanner app if your phone doesn't support it natively, or if you use the native functions on some of these phones, it's going to show you the URL before you go to it. So you can make sure that you're actually going to where you're supposed to go.
It doesn't take you see it in print. That's right.
Exactly. And even if it's a shortened URL, when you click on it, you can always look at the address bar on the browser to see where you're being taken to. And then decide whether or not that's the place you want to be. Still, you have to be careful. I mean, we spoke about, for example, websites being taken down and things like that. A lot of the times what people will, attackers will try to do is set up a similarly named website and maybe, you know, put a sticker on top of somebody else's QR code so it looks like that you're going to the right place. We've talked about this on the show when mentioning things like phishing emails and things like that, where they will register a name with, say, uppercase letter I, which looks a lot like the lowercase letter L. For example, my website is vidadigital.com.pa, but somebody could register vidadigitai with an I at the end, and then just type it with an uppercase letter I. It will look like my website, but it's not. So you have to be careful about that, too. One thing that I do recommend, like restaurants and places that have QR codes like that, is to not force people to download a PDF version of their menu. I think that's lazy, and not everybody has space on their phone to download stuff. Not everybody has something to view PDF files on their phones with, so they have to download another application. And not everybody knows where to look for that file that they just downloaded on their phone, and usually PDF files are made for print documents. So you have to zoom in and move around the document. That's not the best experience.
Actually, what I wanted to do was trying to find a frigging video at the moment. But when my mother passed away, I did a video of her since she was a baby, just born, all the way up to here in her 90s and whatever. And what I wanted to say, I know what I'm going to do, is I'm going to put the QR code on the niche in the in the church, so that if anybody wanted and they could see that, they could just read the you know, copy the or look at the QR code, and it would take you to the video, and you'd actually be able to see what she was like in life. I thought that's a great idea, but I can't find the video at the moment.
Okay, another way to do it would be to underneath the QR code, put in the URL and make sure it's a short one. Like I don't know. bit.ly/, you know, so-and-so funeral or whatever. Something short that people could manually type if they didn't want to or couldn't, for whatever reason, scan the QR code. And I would not link it to a PDF file, maybe to a video. That's pretty okay. But, yeah, I would try to make it easier for users to actually be able to look at what I'm offering in that regard. And the thing about a PDF is, if I've already got the PDF, I might not download it, so I might not have, like, the latest version of anything. I think the best use of a QR code is to go to a webpage. One project that I did have back when I was working at City Hall, they have this inventory, which I don't know if they've updated it or even kept it or whatever, of every single tree in the city. And one of the things that I wanted to do was to put up a QR code that would take you to that particular tree's information so you could know how old it is, what kind of tree it is, and what the care and feeding
for that. I think they've got that in Summit Park, actually.
I've seen Some of that, even in Parque Omar, which is run by entirely different entity, the First Lady's office. But I haven't, you know, gone ahead and looked at the QR codes or anything like that. But yeah, that's one way to do it. I've seen other places also. I know Mexico City, a couple of other cities in the world have QR codes next to their monuments that tell you something about what that monument is about. And so on. I think they're very useful, and people can be, you know, they're understandably wary that, you know, scanning the wrong QR code might take you to a webpage that might try to take your information.
That thing you mentioned, bit.ly, I'd only seen that for the first time, in actual fact, because it's being used by the British Ball this year, and they're using that as a, they go to bit.ly and How do you use that?
You go to bit.ly, and then you paste whatever long URL that you're trying to shorten, and it will provide you with like a six-letter, seven-letter URL that you can use in its stead, and it will forward it to that longish URL. That way, you can either pick what, you know, what random letter it gave you, or you can even try setting up one of your own. The thing is, there's so many of them, it might already have been picked unless it's something really unique. For example, I'm guessing that bit.ly/thebreakfastshow is probably pointing to someone's breakfast show somewhere in the world. One of the great things about bit.ly and other shorteners as well, the one I recommend is called openmy.link. It's built by a friend of mine, and it has a whole bunch of different functionalities, including creating your own, like, virtual business card. Like, you could go to openmy.link/thebreakfastshow and get, like, a web page with, like, the phone number and the social media. And, you know, if you want to advertise, click here and send an email to Yasmin or whatever. And that's one of the uses that people have for that.
Okay, well, we're going to take a little bit of a break, a music break. I thought this one really was probably quite good for the show because of fishing.
Okay.
Which is what we're going to talk about next.
Awesome.
This is Chris Rea, Gone Fishing. Could have been me.
think is expected of you, but you'll never be free. May as well go fishing.
Rhea and gone fishing. Sounds very relaxed, doesn't he? Fishing, that's another big problem, isn't it? And I was just mentioning when you came in this morning about watching some videos last night about a guy who likes to scam the scammers, which must be great fun. Wonder if you can do that for a living. And
some people actually do. There's this very, very interesting fellow named, his channel is named Pleasant Green. And he lives in Utah, I think.
All right.
And
yeah.
He's been making videos about, baiting these scammers for a very long time. And from time to time, he gets people to actually repent from scamming. And then they provide him with information that leads to the capture and the prosecution of these scammers. And he actually even helped a couple of villages in Africa, saying, you know what, I'm going to hire you to take pictures of your village and do things for the village and whatever. And he's helped, like, schools and whole bunches of people doing that, turning things around in a very positive way, which I think is admirable. There's
Scammer Payback.
Oh, he's great.
He really gets into the systems.
His nickname is Pierogi, and he reverses the connection that a lot of these scammers do. Basically, the scammer will either send you an email saying, your computer's infected, you have to call this number, and then they call the number, and it's like, hi, thank you, you've called Microsoft support, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I got this email that says my computer is infected. Okay, run AnyDesk, and we'll take over and do things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pretend to be fixing your machine, and they pretend to sell you, like, an antivirus or whatever for any amount of money. And these scammers make tens of thousands of dollars a day on each of these calls.
One he showed, because he got into the thing and he could see the $24,000 off one person.
Yeah. And it's sad. One other type of scam that they will use is that they will call you and tell you your insurance on your car just ran out. Or they will call you or email you saying, and this happened here in Panama, they'll email you pretending to be like the police department saying, we have a warrant for your arrest or whatever. And then when you call, you get a call saying, well, it's because you didn't pay this ticket or whatever, but you can pay it right now if you want. Just get me some gift cards for the Apple store or some, Bitcoin or whatever. And people will actually, unfortunately, take the bait and fall for this. And it's a very lucrative industry, and a lot of people in East Asia and in Africa are making a lot of money off of people, mostly seniors, unfortunately, people who can't really afford to lose their life savings. So it's a very sad thing that's happening. One thing that worried me, for example, I heard a couple of days ago the director of the equivalent of the Internal Revenue Service here in Panama, the DGI, saying that they're going to make it mandatory to do electronic invoicing, except in very specific exceptions. And while I think that's a good thing to invoice electronically, I've been invoicing electronically for some time, and I find it a lot easier than printing something out and giving it to someone and so on. And the little receipts usually fade and whatever. It's very
exactly. Yeah.
So the thing is, The websites that the government uses and the services that the government uses to send emails out to notify you that you have a new invoice, that your invoice was paid or anything like that, they don't have the proper verification systems in place to make sure that you're not spoofing them. Let me give you some examples. When you send out an email from pbcpanama.com, there are three pieces of information that are publicly available to anyone who checks, and in this case, certain email servers will check, that the email actually came from you. If you ask the PBC Panama server, hey, who's authorized to send emails on behalf of pbcpanama.com? Mm-hmm. It will say, well, for now, Google is one of them because our services are hosted by Google. And the web server itself might send you an email directly because it, you know, you might be subscribed to updates or whatever. And that's it. If you get an email saying it's from pbcpanama.com from any other IP address, please discard it, block it, dump it, do whatever it is, but don't accept it. You can be less draconian and say, well, it might be spam because maybe you have other servers that you haven't updated or whatever. But you can be certain that, you know, that email was or wasn't sent from an authorized IP address. The second portion is called DKIM, which I don't remember what the letters stand for, but it's a distributed key information something. It basically takes every email that's sent out from PBC Panama's servers, in this case Google Workspace, and then signs them with a digital signature whose other part, the verification part, is public. It signs it with a private key, and the public key can verify that the email was, in fact, not only sent from an authorized IP address, but it wasn't altered in any way in transit getting to you. That also prevents people from altering your email, adding anything to it, or from your email being routed through somewhere it shouldn't be routed through. And the third part is called DMARC, which is another standard that points to both the SPF, which is the first standard, and the DKIM, and it kind of binds them together in a single, like, mega standard and tells you, hey, you know, this is what you should do with the email. If you get a spoofed email, I want a copy of it. Send it to me here so you can, you know, follow up on what might be happening. And if your email server is not sending both SPF and DKIM and also DMARC if possible, then Google, Office 365, Outlook, Yahoo, and all the email providers might either refuse to receive that email or they might shove it in the spam box. A lot of the times, I'll see legitimate email from legitimate companies, not spam, in the spam folder because they don't follow these standards. And I just checked one of the DGI's emails sending, you know, to a user for a password reset, and it didn't have these bits of information that make it legit. So my, you know, suggestion, and I will make it formally at some point, I have ways to email the DGI and give them feedback. I'm going to tell them, hey, guys, you need to get your stuff together, even more so, because you're doing a great job, you know, in this case, but you need to do better, and you need to authenticate your emails. And the Authority for Government Information should actually encourage, if not, you know, demand that all government institutions' emails supply this information, because it's only going to get worse. Also, people have to take into account that if you get an email saying, hey, you owe this much money from to this bank from someone at hotmail.com, that's not a real, you know, address. So there are ways where you can go to, you know, your Google email and check the veracity or the authenticity of any of these emails. And if in doubt, you know, if it has to do with a bank, don't take that email's word for it. Go to the bank's website yourself. Type in the address. Don't click on a link. If it has a phone number, don't call that number. Call the number on the back of your card. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just saying because your information is out there. People can get hold of it. Now, mm-hmm. just out of interest, mm-hmm. I think it was last week or something, I just typed in my own name mm-hmm. just to see what comes up. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of an address, Todos Biz? TODOSBIZ?
No.
I won't tell you what it's got, because I just came across it. Let's put it this way. It's got every single bit of information about me on there.
Interesting.
Well,
is it accurate?
Yes and no. I mean, if I was still using Symfo.net.
Okay.
So it's obviously not up to date.
Mm-hmm.
But all that information is there. And all I had to do was just type in my name.
Yeah. And you didn't even use quotes.
No.
That's the thing. For example, I have an article on my website, which is the most read one ever. I get hits on that, and I wrote it years ago every single day, is how to find someone's phone number or how to find who a phone number belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, what's in the article, it's basically look at the person, search for the person's name within quotes, and then Panama, and then 507. That usually works. Or use apps like Truecaller, where you can type in the number.
Truecaller is very good.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly so.
Yeah, that's the one I use. Unfortunately, we're out of time. It almost happened to the time this morning. Must be on QuickTime. Or QuickBooks. You can read those very quickly. Alex, as always, look, thank you so very much.
Great to be here.
Interesting, as always. And if there's any, by the way, topic that you'd like us to talk about here when Alex is with us and available, just drop us a little line. The WhatsApp is 677-18822, 677-18822. Always happy to chat about what you want. Right, still to come on this morning's program, we're going to be talking to His Excellency, the Ambassador to Panama from India, in this last segment of today. But if you missed the news today, sit tight.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. The best place to be in the mornings.
La línea 3 beneficiará una población de más de 500.000 habitantes de la provincia de Panamá Oeste. Con el sistema monorriel, atenderá una demanda inicial de 160.000 usuarios.
Grupo Nefron Medical and Dialysis Center, located in the heart of the city, this is at the Panama Clinic Hospital in San Francisco, provides a full range of services, including advanced diagnostic procedures and treatments to help patients prevent or delay kidney failure and live healthier lives while managing a kidney disorder. Contact them at 310-2895 or 6548-6510. Grupo Nefron. As we make our way to this year's holiday season, a great time, of course, to spend with family and friends. Well, let's not also forget the less fortunate. So why not have a great time and help others as well? The British Charitable Foundation is happy to announce the 20th annual British Haul. It's going to be on Saturday the 2nd of December at the Miramar Intercontinental Hotel. Come along and join us for that champagne reception, a sit-down dinner, open bar, DJ and dancing until you drop. And you can have all of that for a donation of $135 per person. Ladies, do come glamorous. And men, well, see if you can find that black tie. All you've got to do, if you're interested in tickets, you can go directly to the booking form at www.bit.ly/2023 British Ball Tickets. Or for any queries or questions, you can also email the organisers at info@britishballpanama.com. Come along, join us, have a great time, and give help to others as well.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Darkest night, no one knows
she comes and goes.
Say, catch your dreams before they slip away.
There we go. That is Gothard and a great version of Ruby Tuesday. And before that, Donna Lewis brought us in and I Love You Always Forever. I tell you what, he's sitting ready for us. It's very, very nice to introduce to the studio the new ambassador to Panama from India. And this is Dr. Sumit Seth. Did I get it right?
Yes, of course.
Well, very few
people have got my name right. I've been having
to deal with a lot of Italian lately, isn't it? Ambassador, welcome to Panama. Welcome to The Breakfast Show.
Thank you so much. I'm truly very happy to be here with you today morning. Thank you for the invitation, Gary. You are a superstar in a way. You know, everybody listens to you. Most of the expats, I'm told.
Oh, really?
Including myself. So I'm very happy to be sitting.
Well, thank you very much indeed. It's lovely to have you with me.
Thank you so much.
And so I think you arrived, what, 4 months ago?
2 months.
Two months ago.
I actually came on 1st of August. Mm-hmm. So it's almost 70, 80 days, something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how are you settling in? How are you finding? I know you've been to, you told me you've been to Panama before.
Yeah, so I had visited Panama in 2000, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 2010 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
I had come for a couple of meetings. I had come from Colombia. There I was posted to our Embassy of India as Second Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So I, of course, speak the language. I came here. And after meetings, I had some free time. I was going, strolling in Casco Viejo, looking at the sea, and the breeze was flowing in the evening, very nice weather, and some thought crossed my mind. It said that if ever there is an opportunity to apply for ambassadorship in this country, I would try. And today I am sitting with you as India's ambassador. So sometimes dreams do come true.
Absolutely.
I think many people who have come to Panama from outside, all of your listeners, if they ask themselves, their dreams have come true. So Panama is a land, probably auspicious land for many, who's when people come here with some dreams, those dreams come true. That's how I feel.
There's definitely something about Panama. I mean, I came here 30 years ago almost by accident, because I came here in the oil business. And it was we just sort of got rid of a business in Miami. The people in London, I had a client here, and I went back and said, you know, if you're looking at new business, why don't you look at Panama? And they turned around about 2 weeks and said, yeah, good idea, off you go. I said, hang on, I didn't say me. I packed my bags, I came here, and it was going to be for a couple of years probably. I'm still here.
Wonderful.
So there is something magical about that. And if you, they say if you drink the water from the Chagres, you'll always come back.
Okay, maybe I'll travel to Chagres soon.
There's not a lot of water there. Ambassador, it's great to have you. It's probably a little bit early having sort of just arrived, but how do you see Panama as a center for you to develop the business between
bilateral issues?
Exactly.
So yes, of course, when I was preparing myself to come here, I thought it's good to have a strategy, a plan. In fact, incidentally, before coming here, I was head of the Foreign Policy Planning Division in the Foreign Office. So I, every day for last 3 years, was planning. So because planning is an important aspect of one's, you know.
Absolutely.
And I believe in this dictum that planning increases the surface area of your luck.
Right, that's true, yes.
So what I have, so my plan has 4 T's, you know. So I thought the best plans are those which can be explained in a simple terms, not a complicated terms. So the simple terms, of course, it's not easy to execute. There are a lot of other factors. So these are the 4 T's which I thought would be what I will be working on. The first T is called traditions.
Okay.
We need to understand more about the traditions of Panama, you know, not just in Panama City, but other provinces, the diversity of people, cultures Panama has, the kind of festivals they celebrate, what motivates average Panamanian, and so on. That's one. And also to explain India's traditions to our friends in Panama.
Exactly, two ways.
Yeah, what type of festivals, why do we celebrate a particular festival? Different languages India speak, different religions we have. We have a very strong, I would say, 15,000 plus Indian diaspora here.
That many?
Many of them, of course, are born in Panama, but their forefathers were from Panama. So traditions is an important aspect of, you know, the first T. The second T is equally important. In fact, it's called trade. Bilateral trade between India and Panama is around 600 million. So there's a lot of potential between India and Panama to increase their bilateral trade. There is an old saying, you know, when we study geopolitics, that we are told flags follow the ship.
Right.
So ship is a symbol of trade. And what better place than Panama, where so many ships are passing through Panama Canal. So once India and Panama trade goes up, more Indian businessmen come to Panama, more people from Panama are able to sell their product to a big market like India, then automatically, you know, the political relations will fall in place. You know, that's the second T, which is trade. The third T is tourism.
Right.
You know, many people have, from Panama, I have interacted in last 2 months. Many of them know Panama through these days through Netflix movies or through internet or through some of the articles written in New York Times or Economist or their own local newspapers. But unless and until somebody goes to India and touch the land of India, only then you will find the reality.
Absolutely.
India is a moving piece, you know. It's, mm-hmm. it's a movie. It is not a still photograph.
Mm-hmm.
So it's moving every day, you know. So today what India is, 2 years from now, it will be a different, you know, it's
absolutely.
So that's a third T, which is tourism. And the last T, equally important, is technology.
Absolutely, because that's one of the sectors that India
yes.
is leading
in. One of the
in.
Sectors mm-hmm. in which India mm-hmm. has taken lead. And technology, for example, you know, information and technology is one,
mm-hmm.
but pharmaceuticals, automobiles.
Yes, yes.
Once upon a time, like you have a past, in my last incarnation, I was a medical doctor.
Yeah, well, I was fascinated because I was going to bring that up a bit later on because forensic medicine.
Medicine, yes.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, so these are the, just to complete sure. my this, to mm-hmm. recap, these are the four T's, traditions,
mm-hmm.
trade, tourism, and technology.
Mm-hmm.
These are the four T's of togetherness, I would say, on which I'm going to work.
Because one of the things, I mean, as I said, I came here quite some time ago, and I think one of the things that we all need to do, doesn't matter where we're from, especially with Panama, is also a P, which is perception.
Perception.
Because so many people have a perception of Panama. I mean, I remember before I actually came here, and I used to do business in Venezuela and then go to Mexico DF, and there was a flight, Avensa 500, used to go from Caracas
mm-hmm.
to Mexico, but stopping in Panama for about 45 minutes to pick people up. And they always used to say, you know, if anybody wants to get off the plane and go in the airport while we're waiting, you can do, and I wouldn't get off the plane because of the perception of, and I think this is, you know, like you said, when you came here and you look at Panama and, you know, if you're sending like myself, and we didn't have many skyscrapers in those days, when you see the reality, how different it is to that perception. And I know you visited, but before you visited Panama for that first time, did you have a perception of what to expect? Or?
As a diplomat, you know, one of my job is to basically know the reality
mm-hmm.
of the place.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of friends here. In fact, the then ambassador, he was my senior from the Foreign Service.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to interact with him. And we found that, you know, Panama Canal has always fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
I studied about Panama mm-hmm. Canal maybe in my primary school or high school mm-hmm. or middle mm-hmm. school. And I always wanted to see what. So Panama Canal is actually a symbol of, as a medical doctor, I can say, bypass.
Right, right.
When, you know, it's also a symbol of a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Shortcut for trade. Imagine if there was no Panama Canal. No, how the ships would have gone all the way down.
All the way around. Mm-hmm.
So it's a simple, you know, metaphor, I would mm-hmm. say. Panama Canal is a metaphor for finding solutions to complicated problems.
Which we're doing again.
Yes. No, yes, so that's a constant endeavor.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
So that's how it has been, you know. So many things which I am discovering are, you know, even more than my expectations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I meet someone who has been doing just yoga as a living, you know. I met another day who runs a yoga studio.
Right.
And he has students and he just makes his living out of yoga. You know, yoga is a traditional, you know, method of, you know, it's not just a exercise, many no. people know. It's a way of life,
yes.
lifestyle. So, and we celebrate 21st of June every year,
that's
International
right.
Day of
that's
Yoga.
That's right, mm-hmm.
And I see many people in Panama who have no direct, you know, they're not Indian by origin,
mm-hmm.
from Panama. But they're practicing yoga, classical dance, some of them are learning Indian cuisine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know. So I'm really amazed, you know, by the love people have for the Indian culture and traditions.
I think so. I mean, I was very fortunate to be invited not so long ago to one of the events. I think it was the celebrating of the yoga a while ago. But also, I mean, what is famous, of course, is the way Indians dance. Bollywood.
Yes.
I mean, the choreography is quite something.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a piece of music right now,
okay.
and we'll be back with Dr. Seth, Dr. Sumit Seth. Not going to just call you.
Yes, he's called Mr. Sumit.
Okay. And talking of Bollywood.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, lovely.
You see, it's night for the listeners. You see, I don't always get things wrong. Because I put that on. I've got a little bit of a collection of some Bollywood songs.
Wonderful.
Here.
No, you have a great collection, you know. Intuitively, you have chosen one of the favorite songs.
There you see. The ambassador said, oh, this is one of my favorites. So there we go. How are you going to sort of, what sort of plans, so, you know, because you're doing a lot of teeing and planning. How are you going to do it? What do you consider to be your priority now as the representative of India in Panama?
I think at this stage, what I'm doing is every day I'm meeting four or five people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing what I call scanning phase of my
right.
career. Scanning the landscape. And then at some point, I think with my experience of in the diplomatic service,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to find out areas where I can become more, you know, profound, sorry, as the word
mm-hmm.
in Spanish, dig deep
right.
in some places mm-hmm. because you cannot be doing everything because, you know, you need to focus on some areas.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to bring, so let me give you an example. As far as, you know, traditions are concerned, you know, we are trying to celebrate a festival of India.
Mm-hmm.
Going to meet, we have a couple of Indian restaurants in which, you know, people can come and enjoy your
cuisine. You know, I'm originally British.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think it's our national dish now, in actual fact.
Chicken masala tikka or
any of them, as long as it's got curry.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Yeah. And apart from that, you know, I'm planning to get more and more Indian businessmen
mm-hmm.
to come
mm-hmm.
to Panama.
Mm-hmm.
To look at the possibilities. You know, when I talk to some businessmen, I think those who think at a superficial level, they would say, oh, Panama is a small market, 4.5 million.
I was just going to mention that to you because, yeah. you know, for although we're sort of like, if you like, the gateway to the world or whatever, our market is limited due yes. to, as you say, I mean, 4.2 million people, that's the size of a city.
Yeah, I think in India, one of the, I would say, two, three neighborhoods together would...
Well, that's about right, yeah.
But, you know, Panama might not have the population number,
mm-hmm.
but Panama has the geography.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And geography provides an important, play a very important role in geopolitics.
Mm-hmm.
So from Panama, if, you know, the right policies are in place, it could actually turn out to be the gateway. It is a hub already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the ships converge here. All the, you know, you are from the Air Force, so you know that all the aircrafts,
mm-hmm.
one of the
mm-hmm.
cities which is most connected in Latin America.
Absolutely.
Is Panama.
That's been a big change. Yeah,
it's a hub of financial services. I mm-hmm. see that one of the highest density of banks in mm-hmm. one place is probably mm-hmm. in Panama. So you definitely, there are, you know, the geography is there, the mm-hmm. landscape is there, with the right policies, I think, and I am, that's what I'm telling Indian businessmen, because they need to come and be here, and whenever there is an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
they will have the first mover's advantage. Panama can also, you know, especially I other day visited the Colon.
Right, right.
A lot of Indian origin people have mm-hmm. their businesses there.
Mm-hmm.
It can, you know, be used as a place of what you call forward location of inventories.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's what, the second largest free zone
yes,
in the world.
Yes, it is after Hong Kong. I think
mm-hmm.
it's a,
mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not just 4.5 million. It's the whole Latin America and Caribbean country.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know if you would agree with this, but I've always sort of wondered, some because of the logistics that we have, I mean, we have the rail, we have the ships, we have the trucking across as well, potentially. But I would have thought Panama might be interested in it as a manufacturing point.
Of course.
Because you've got the, you can, from here, you can distribute, well, you can receive all your parts or spares or
Absolutely.
Your manufacture here. And it surprised me, but we haven't taken off in that direction.
What I know from my meetings with some of the senior leadership,
mm-hmm.
Ministers, I think there is serious thinking about, you know, exactly on those lines which you are mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pan-Pacific free trade
mm-hmm.
zone is
exactly,
where, you know,
yeah.
they're planning to
mm-hmm.
have manufacturing facilities and so on, give incentives
mm-hmm.
to companies who can come and invest. And I think it's only a matter of time, you know, when it's, and that's where the opportunity lies for Indian investors.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot come to Panama when everybody knows about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sensing those, you know, future,
mm-hmm.
Looking into the future, that what is 5 years from down the line, mm-hmm. how the landscape will emerge. And that's the important part. And technology can play an important role.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. India has demonstrated that with the use of technology, it can leapfrog. You do not have to cross all those stages of development which some other countries have done. There are many people who have never seen a fixed line telephone in their life.
No.
They have directly jumped into 4G mobiles.
Well, I mean, here as well, I mean, if you're looking at it from a sort of business perspective or data holding perspective, because we have the major fiber optic lines coming into Panama.
Also,
and
yes.
Again, so it's also a logistics center for that as well.
Mm-hmm. So basically, I think Panama is already looking at some of the best practices followed by countries with similar geographical
mm-hmm.
advantages.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
mm-hmm.
Places like Dubai,
mm-hmm.
place like New York. New York is a hub. Place like Singapore.
Exactly.
And Hong Kong and other places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they can learn the good things which they are doing and basically
mm-hmm.
replicating it, adapting it according to their own. And that's one option. The other thing which I've been talking, you know, is the role of English as a language, second language
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
I other day had a meeting in University of Panama, and I've been visiting some of the other universities also.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that there's a lot of, you know, desire to learn English. And I'm very happy to see that there is a breakfast show in English in the morning. I'm sure that many of the people from Panama whose second language is English are also listening to you.
To be honest with you, you know, when we look at our statistics, and we're very fortunate that we do have a good listenership, and the people that react mostly and chat to us on WhatsApp and
mm-hmm.
Panamanians.
Absolutely, this
you
is
know,
shows.
It's, because when we did this, I mean, you mentioned expats before, but when we started this in the first place, it was never meant to be for expats. It's a radio program.
Okay.
In English.
In English.
And I think that's why it's, you know, we're fortunate we've been successful, from a listenership point of view. And, funnily enough, just a little story if I can relate was I went to an event not so long ago, Yasmin was me and this family, came up and asked, you know, are you Jerry? And I said, yes. And they got a chance, oh, you know, we always listen. And they had their daughter who was probably
mm-hmm.
around about 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, she's been listening to you since she was a toddler.
Wonderful.
And she says, and it was you that turned her on to the Beatles, apparently.
Wonderful. So you also are playing an important role in terms of, you know.
Well, we hope so. Yo dice mi lengua es inglés, pero mi corazón es panameño, you know. So
yo también puedo hablar en español, pero inglés es inglés.
Yours, you know? Don't worry, your Spanish is going to be better than mine.
Actually,
I tell you what, we're going to take another piece of music here on The Breakfast Show.
Sure, please.
इश्क की आग में जलने दो ये धुआं धुआं सा रहने दो हे हे हे
That is Ye Duan Duan. Is that about
right? Yes,
is that about right?
Right, more or less.
Well, look, unfortunately, Ambassador, we're just sort of about getting towards the end of our little chat for this morning. Just very quickly, though, I mean, for the Indian population here in Panama, what services do you offer at the embassy?
Yeah, so we have a website,
mm-hmm.
Very easy to reach. Anybody has to go to Google, search Embassy India Panama, mm-hmm. I think you will reach there. And on the left side, if you see, there is a three lines which says menu,
mm-hmm.
and when you click on it, there are consular services.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide passport renewal, somebody whose passport is damaged,
mm-hmm. right.
So passport services. We also provide various certificates, somebody, birth certificates,
mm-hmm.
marriage certificates, and we also attest postile various documents.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the things, services which provide. We also provide a card to people who have origins in India,
mm-hmm.
but now they have a Panamanian passport. It's called Overseas Citizenship of India, OCI
card. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That gives you a lifelong visa to India. Once you have that card, you don't have to come to embassy to seek visa if you have a Panamanian passport and you have Indian origins. Of course, we do all the background checks, etc., and so on. Once it is done, once you get that visa, you can not just go to India, you have many other rights. There is a whole detailed list of...
Yeah, well, that's excellent.
So, yeah, OCI card holders have those privileges which a foreigner does not have. So it is somewhere in between a citizen, full citizen, and a foreigner. There is a middle path approach which we have tried to, where we give all the advantages, some of the advantages which citizenship have, so that people of Indian origin remain connected to India. And, you know, they're rooted with India. So that is the services. We provide visas to foreigners, not just Panamanians. Anybody. Like you, for example, if you have a British passport or if you have a U.S. passport, you can apply for a visa and so on. So those visa services are there.
Excellent.
So all the details are available. We also thought, you know, that with the change in time, we should reach out to youth. Youth are not going to come to our website. So we are going to come to their Instagram feeds. And
excellent.
We have a Facebook account. We also use, once upon a time, called Twitter. Now it's called X. So we have that account there also. I try to, wherever I go for public meetings, I also like to inform using that what are the activities we are doing, so that there is a kind of a communication, you know.
Wonderful. All ours is sitting over there. Yasmin does all
and
ours.
And today when I'm sitting with you, I got this idea of using WhatsApp the way you use for
program. Exactly.
Maybe we can make a WhatsApp for consular services.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
It could be one way of, you know, reaching out to them. So these are the services that are available. And I also conduct frequently something called an open house.
Okay.
Open house where, you know, anybody can come in and say, oh, look, my passport is not reaching me in time, etc., etc. So I can address some of the grievances directly to the ambassador.
Okay. These are some. Excellent. Dr. Sumit Seth, ambassador, Indian ambassador to the Republic of Panama, thank you so much for being with us. And I'm looking forward to going to your website, looking at the menu and seeing chicken tikka masala.
I would like to invite you someday. You know,
any day.
The proof of the chicken tikka masala is in the eating.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, thank you so much, sir. And big thanks again to Dr. Sumit Seth, the Indian ambassador to Panama. And just very quickly to Alex for being with us this morning, Talking Tech. To Yasmin here in the Breakfast Show studio, does all our background work, does all the appointments, etc., and our social media. Big thanks to her. Big thanks to Ingrid. Big thanks to our co-producer, Neil Danby. Boys and girls, a group of Grado saying, when's he going to shut up? Now? And also to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. And we'll be back with you tomorrow, Friday, same time, 7 in the morning. Whatever it is you're doing between now and then, do it carefully. I want to be talking to you tomorrow, not talking about you. For me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-ta! You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D. Produced by Yasmin Kiros. Co-producer, Neil Danby.